We've been bringing you updates of some of our stories these past few weeks, and one I've been curious about is the piece one of our team, Helen Palmer, put together about her quest with her downstairs neighbor, Eric Grunbaum, to get solar panels on their two-family house. One thing that influenced them was the slew of tempting cash incentives available. Here's part of her report from last year.
Federal and local incentives have helped give solar a gigantic boost in the last 2 years. In 2011, the U.S. added 1.7 gigawatts of solar, enough to power about 1.5 million homes. California leads the sun-powered pack, but Massachusetts ties Hawaii for second place in terms of incentives and strength of the market. Richard Sullivan is Massachusetts Secretary of Energy and Environmental Affairs.
Right now, there are great incentives. There's certainly at the federal level, there's tax credits. There are here locally in Massachusetts. And the cost of manufacturing solar, the cost of installing solar, has also dramatically come down.
Meantime, my neighbor Eric was researching what those incentives and new efficiencies added up to in hard cash. He came upstairs. Come in.
Hi.
Hi, Eric. He had an armful of folders.
So I got a price from, so far, from one company called Sunbug. The total price is $13,000, but then there's these credits you get from the state and from the federal government. The state credits are adding up to $3,300 roughly, and the federal tax credit is about $3,000. Oh, look, there's another state tax credit of $1,000. So the cost after all the rebates is $6,000. So it's actually cutting more than half off the price.
There are dozens of tax benefits, grant programs, and incentives to go energy green. 38 states have property tax breaks. 28 states have sales tax incentives. The list goes on. But this was the first time I learned about one of the biggest boondoggles of all, the cash you actually get paid.
Every year, for every 1,000 kilowatts you produce, you get what's called a solar renewable energy credit, which everybody calls an SREC because it's too long to say that other thing. And it's because the utilities are required to produce solar energy.
Yeah, there's a requirement that the state generates so much from renewables, right?
Yeah, it's called a renewable portfolio standard.
30 states have mandatory renewable portfolio standards. In most cases, the green energy requirement goes up every year. Massachusetts demands 15% by 2020. And SREC prices vary from state to state. Pennsylvania paid less than $22 in June this year, while the Massachusetts price was $545. And the tax credits may go down. The federal credit's good through 2016, but State Energy Secretary Rick Sullivan says Massachusetts credits will sunset.
These rebates and incentives, if you will, are really designed to, you know, certainly encourage the growth of the industry. But then over a period of time, those incentives and rebates will decline and eventually go away. And we are seeing that happen. We have seen the rebate that's offered, you know, decrease, I believe it's 4 times. Again, the goal is to get it to be zero and have private industry be competitive, the solar industry be competitive with the other sources of energy.
To date, they've done their job. Prices have dropped over 40% in the last 4 years, and in Massachusetts, at least 200 solar companies are trying to persuade businesses and homeowners to slap solar panels on the roof.
Well, it's been just over a year since Helen slapped her panels on the roof and got them turned on, and now she's here in the studio for an update. Hey, Helen, how did it work out?
Well, you know, we can look, we can open up the laptop here, and you remember my solar dashboard?
How can I forget? I think you're kind of obsessed with this thing.
I was. It's a bit better now. But look, you can see that I'm generating at the moment 2.82 kilowatts of power. It's a sunny day, middle of the day. And overall, in the year, I've generated 4,683 kilowatt hours altogether. That offsets 1,389 pounds of coal.
That's like a half a ton or more of coal.
Half a ton of coal. Wow. And it's also what it's actually saved in terms of electric costs is $770.
And what have you gotten in terms of electric bills?
Ah, no electric bills, not one since March 2012. And actually, I just checked, we have a credit of $42.61. So actually, I think they've worked out pretty well.
Now, what about those renewable energy credit payments for doing the solar stuff that you were expecting?
Oh, yeah, the famous SREX. Well, actually, those haven't worked out so well.
I think you were talking about getting $500 every time you generated 1,000 kilowatt hours, so 4,000 kilowatt hours. $500, that's more than $2,000.
Yep. Don't rub it in. I think what happened is we kind of caught a wave. The incentives that persuaded us to go solar persuaded thousands of other Americans, too. Actually, in 2012, the U.S. added 3 1/3 gigawatts of solar power. Now, that's twice as much as they were put on their roofs the year before, and it's nearly as much as the nation's largest nuclear power plant can generate. So the price of the renewable energy credits, well, it dropped. And as the market was flooded with folks generating clean power, the price per megawatt in Massachusetts slumped to $200. But still, in Pennsylvania, it was only $10, so it's not so bad.
But what about the basic incentives and rebates? Are they still there?
Yeah, both nationally and here in the Bay State. There's a special program called Solarize Massachusetts. That has lots of incentives. And the governor, Deval Patrick, he just announced a new goal of 1,600 megawatts on roofs by 2020. We blew through the last goal, that was 250 megawatts, 4 years early.
Huh. How unique is Massachusetts with this?
Not actually as unique as all that. It's got a very good set of programs, but actually most states have them. They have sort of grants and loans and property tax and sales tax breaks. Lots of ways to persuade us all to go for green power.
And Helen, before you go, though, I got to ask you something else. You are our resident beekeeper.
Yeah, I'm not at the moment because my bees all died over the winter, you remember.
Oh, yeah. In fact, that's why I wanted to ask you about that, because there's an update on another story we've been following, bees and the neonicotinoid pesticides, and those chemicals are suspected of being one cause of the massive die-off of honeybees.
Yes, and the real new development is that in the European Union, where campaigners have been very vocal about the dangers of these systemic pesticides, 15 of the 27 EU member countries voted to impose a ban on three of the main ones. It's only limited. It's just a two-year ban on their use on flowering crops that attract bees. But campaigners and beekeepers are very pleased. And what they hope is that this will give the bees a chance to recover and also will demonstrate that important pollinators are healthier when these pesticides aren't being used. And also, I mean, most importantly, that crop yield doesn't slump because of the ban.
Okay, Helen, we'll keep things buzzing for us, will you?
Well, I am getting some new bees.
Living on Nurse Helen Palmer.